Amen. The Lord is good. Our King is coming. Amen. Christ was born. He rose from the dead. And we are expecting his return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So let us be watchful for tell of the soon coming of our King. Amen. Amen. So let the world be prepared. Let heaven and earth know that our King is coming. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for another day before you. Thank you for this Sunday fellowship. We thank you for all you've done for us through the year. We are within a striking distance towards the end of the year. And Father, we know and we believe you are going to see us through to the new year in Jesus' name. And your name shall be glorified, Lord. Wonderful things have you done, Lord. And we appreciate everything you have done. Father, bless your word this morning. Let it be a teaching message that will get into the heart of many. And bless those who are watching us, even from their homes, any other places they might be, and across the whole world. Let this be a blessing to them and to everybody here today in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. To God be the glory. We're going to continue with the message that we started teaching on, the power of wisdom. We had the first part and the second, and we are now on the third. It's a series that, if God allow us to continue, my outgo to seven series, touching different aspects of wisdom. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But at least for this year, we're able to get some into it. The summary of the first one, we've already given the summary a few times. We say, don't make faith the enemy of wisdom. Amen? And we tell people to please practice wisdom early in life. Early in life. Wisdom to practice it early. We pointed out how we put a lot of stock, rightly so, on faith. But then we also warn that many a times the reason many people have issues and they have a lot to pray and ask for miracle and pray for miracle and have to use a lot of faith is because they didn't put wisdom in the right place early in the practice or in their life or in that situation. And we say that God, even our Most High God, according to the Bible, designed the world in wisdom and then spoke into existence through comprehensive faith. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why I have like day and night, let there be parameters. He set a boundary for the sea and these things. Designed it in wisdom. And the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. Not negating all that things, but I noticed along the way that many of us doesn't consider wisdom in our actions or pray for it. And the Bible says, if you lack wisdom, ask God who giveth all to men, all men liberally. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we pointed that out as the first part. You know, I like to say at times that wisdom could be seen as, faith in some cases like a fire truck that comes to put out fire when the fire is already burning. But wisdom might tell you how to prevent the war, the fire from starting in the first place so that you don't have any reason to have damaged or a situation that may get out of hand in the first place. And this goes in every aspect of our life, raising your family, business, work, marriage, building up a church. If you disregard wisdom early, you will seek for it later on. I pray that God will give us grace to do the right thing. Amen. And we talk of the communication, and we say wisdom will teach you when to speak and when to shut up, when to talk and when not to talk, when to keep silent, so that you don't become fool or wise in your own eyes. Wisdom will teach you how to speak word in due season, so that the word of the wise, the Bible says, is like a precious ornament, like a gold, like a silver, so that when you speak, it will have effect. It will have this thing. At times, some of us jump the gun in speaking. At times, some of us just say things that we shouldn't say and then regret it later on. Then at times, you just be wise to speak, and we thought on that part last time. Today, we are going to talk on another aspect of wisdom, the part of wisdom to financial peace. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. I want us to open the scriptures to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 to 8. Proverbs, the book of Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 to 8. And I want us to read together. It says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be what? Wise. Which having no guide, oversee, or ruler, provided her meat in the summer and gathered her food in the harvest. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I've spoken about this, I found out about 2-3 years ago. And I wish that you are going to log in, those of you watching from across the world, any part you are, logging into gmichurch.org and go to the part that says sermons. And in it, you see different pastors and ministers. The part I spoke to, my name is Emmanuel Oba. And you can log into that and see the message that was preached on December 3rd, 2017. And summary of it was given again on December 10, 2017. That's about 2 years ago. It was called Nuggets of Wisdom. And see some of the things that was said there that may affect your life positively to the glory of God. You may say, what gives you the authority to speak on this issue, on wisdom? It is one of the three gifts I received from the Holy Spirit at the time that God gave me that Holy Spirit many years ago. And like many gifts, if you don't use it, it goes dormant. And I didn't use it, I didn't apply it in my own life, and I made a lot of mistakes. So many things I'm saying is based on experience. But along the way, I didn't know that some of the things I say make sense to people. And then along the way, people started asking me for advice at place of work, advice on people that come across my way. And I started praying and asking God to give me wisdom how to answer back. And so I started building a little more understanding on that gift, one of the three gifts that God gave me as an earnest deposit of the Holy Spirit. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. And I also read and I also look at other people's teaching. And as I said, some of the things I'm saying, please note that what I say to one, I say to all, both man and woman, and to myself more. So it's not, he's talking about my husband. Or he's talking about my wife. What I say to one, I say to all. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. So apply it likewise. Amen. And also to myself. So those are the foundation where I started looking more into wisdom. And I found out that it's neglected in the church. It's neglected in the ministries. A lot is put in other areas. A lot is put in many other areas, but is being neglected. And I found out that it was also neglected in the Bible. You know, wise woman, that great things, nobody preached about it. Somebody saved the city by the wisdom, nobody talks about it. With touch of faith, because it's charismatic and it touches people more, people order it. Ministries are named after faith and stuff. Wonderful things, great things about faith. You can't do without it. But also, I want you to know, start praying for wisdom of God in every aspect of your life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So today we are talking of the part of wisdom to financial peace. I'm going to read so that I can keep myself timed in some of this stuff, because if I start speaking, I go out of boundary, and I always try to keep my ministration to 30, 45 minutes if I can help it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. I want to put this out in the front. There are no financial peace or any type of peace for that matter without the Prince of Peace. Somebody say amen. Amen. So that has to be in place, the Prince of Peace. You can have all the wealth or financial success, in the world. But without Jesus, it is practically useless. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you can be penniless and still be fulfilled. Wealth or financial success is not everything. Amen? Don't put too much stock on it. But from my experience and the scripture's point of view, it is better to have Jesus and also to have convenient food. I stress the word convenient food. No? Not too blessed, not too much. Amen? Convenient food. That's what the Bible teaches us. Pray for that. Amen? Be warned, never trust on uncertain riches. It's uncertain to say the least. And always remind yourself that where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Also, be warned of that. Whereas the truth is that godliness with contentment is great gain. That is pure word of God. I say, however, let us be careful not to confuse contentment with apathy or lack of ambition. I've seen that a lot in my study of wisdom, in counseling a lot of people, in talking with so many people. Some of the stuff I'm going to say is based on counseling others, talking with others, people calling you and say, want you to intervene in this situation, and then and you sit them down and you go through a lot and you hear a lot in the part of the ministry. Not necessarily the members of the church. In fact, most of the people I talk to is outside the church. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? So don't confuse contentment with apathy or lack of ambition. In other words, even in teaching of this thing, Bible once says, if you don't work, don't eat. Amen? So that's very important. Today's lesson, I'm going to bring out some points that will be very, very helpful for each and every one of us and for those of you watching. Amen? When people preach about financial success, the part I see a lot of is the part that says, you know, preaching about giving and the benefit of giving and the returns that is involved. And many a times we take it to the point of what we call prosperity preaching. And we hinge a lot on the return if you give abundantly. That's the part I see a lot teaching on. And then there is the second part that also true is biblical, the miracle of providence. A lot of teaching on that area, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that can provide. It resonates with everybody. So we preach a lot on that part. The aspect of hard work, prudent living, saving, debt accumulation, that you are a slave to the lender when we borrow for everything, borrow for your shoe, borrow for your clothes, borrow for that TV, for that new car, for this one and that. Everything borrow, 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 borrow across the board, just to be like the Joneses. Not much is being preached in that area. And it's not popular. So for instance, people like me who studied or speaking on that, you may not hear a lot of amens. You may not hear a lot of people smiling at you, but it is God's own truth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So I'm not here to preach for you about prosperity. No, like they preach it. But things that you can put in place, especially for the young ones. The old ones among us many a times are set in our ways. You are talking to the wind in some cases. But if I know what I know some few years ago and I started doing it early, I believe I'll be in a far better position. Thanks God for his mercies. If you say I'm 70 or 60 or this thing doesn't apply to me, that's okay. But at the same time, don't feel like, oh, I made a lot of mistakes, and God can also recover for you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? So what I'm saying here is that we have to look at this part also. The lesson of the ant, the three ethics lesson, can be possible in most cases unless there are unity of purpose in a family system. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The lesson of the ant, which if you go back to it, is said to us to go to the lowest of the low of creatures, an ant, and learn to be wise. Who having no what? Chief, ruler, leadership, captain, wife guiding or husband guiding or anything, they learn to gather their food in the summer and in the harvest time. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. When it is not raining a lot, so that they can come out and gather it and put it away. They are always hard work. They are not lazy to the bone and stuff and so on. And that part, I cannot fault Christians. I see a lot of Christians working hard. I see a lot of Christians giving a lot of time working hard. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we are not talking about that part today. I don't see a lot of sluggard among many brethren. The work ethics of giving, hard work, and sharing is very much practiced among the Christians. But I said here, these three ethics lessons can be possible in most cases unless there are unity of purpose in a family system on how to, one, accumulate and retain wealth or financial well-being. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So the lesson that I want us to learn today is about the unity of purpose within the ant kingdom. And you cannot learn that just by reading it just like this. If you go a little more study on people who did research on ants, you start to find out that ants live in a colony. A colony that could be, the biggest one they found is about 300 million ants living in a colony of a system. Some are in 1 million range, some are in thousands range. But then you find out that they live in a colony that is millions. And you start to wonder the kind of eusociality, that's what they call it, you know, a high system of organization that they have within this colony, that they're able to provide food for all of them, they're able to save for all of them, they're able to know how to distribute so that it reaches everybody, and so they have a unity of building well-being system goal to achieve a common goal for the prosperous for the whole system to be prosperous. And these are animals. And I said, if 300 million, 2 million, 10 million, 50 million, or thousands of ants can find unity, why is it that a man and a wife, too, in the family of believers, doesn't have common goal, doesn't have common objective when it comes to finance? This one goes left, that one goes right. There's always fighting and acrimony because of financial things that goes on in the household. One believe it this way, that believe. But the part I want us to learn today is the unity of this animal kingdom, these little ants, of having common goal. That's how they build wealth. And I believe that's one of the reasons God pointed us to us. Not just the sluggard one, not just because they work hard and this. It's how they conserve what they have and use it wisely for the common goal of all. And we don't find that among believers. 60% of divorce is because of financial problem in the family. Not necessarily that they don't make enough, but I have different view how to use it. And it brings trouble, acrimony. So when we get to that point today, if we can, we're going to look at financial infidelity, which when you don't have unity, you see financial infidelity. Cheating is not only on cheating, like the only cheating we know. Man goes and cheat, woman goes and cheat, or whatever. There can be financial infidelity. And if you look at your life, your struggle with your husband or with your wife and stuff in this area, there's never much peace in that house. You will see spending competition when there is no unity of purpose or intention to achieve the objectives, the same objective. You will see desire, want, superseding need, so that the need of the family is put away where there is competition in desire, when there is competition in what I want, and not necessarily what the family need. And that drains the system. You can't build true wealth in that way. You will see money become a weapon, weaponized tool, when there is no unity among the family, especially husband and wife, on how to use their resources. Now, and I want to say here, if you are living in surplus, multi-billionaire or multi-millionaire or something, maybe this message may not apply to you. Maybe some of them can, the aspect of humility and sharing and giving and stuff. But you already have surplus, you can afford to buy whatever, and you don't even know anything is going on. But if you are average Joe, average Nancy, or whatever, if you don't learn early, especially the young ones, to live in unity, two family, two people in this family, husband and wife, or father and mother, then you will find it hard to build true wealth or financial success, because these four problems will raise its head. Financial infidelity, spending competition, desire goes before want, and want goes before the family need. And money can become a weapon instead of a tool to bless the name of the Lord. Instead of a tool to bless the family, it becomes a tool as a weapon. Use it against my wife, or wife, use it against me. This person goes left, that person goes right. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. The lesson of the ant, the three ethics of hard work, we can find that one. Let's quickly open the Bible, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. 2 Thessalonians 3, 10. Please, let's read these things quickly. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if anyone will not walk, neither should they do what? Eat. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. If you don't walk, don't eat. Hallelujah. The second part of that is 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and don't say it is my husband or it is my wife. If you are a part of the family, this duty falls on both. He said, but if any provide not for his own, there are different ways of providing. We're not going to go into in-depth about that. It's not necessarily who works. There's other things to be a helpmate in different ways. If you don't provide in any of these ways, and especially for those of his own house, the Bible says here, you have denied the faith, and you are worse than an infidel. Don't go pointing to people or trying to convert people. It's an unbeliever, let me convert him. This and that, let me convert him. He said, if you are a sluggard, refuse to work, or refuse to save, or refuse to conserve what you have, and you become a just disaster in the family welfare system, in this financial area, he said, you have denied the faith and you are worse than an infidel. Somebody say, praise the name of the Lord. I know it will be quiet, so it's okay. It's not, it's not a, you know, feel good kind of preaching. And people are saying, you are talking to me. And that is good. If I'm talking to you, a blessed be the name of the Lord. Did my husband tell you anything about me? No, he didn't. Did your wife tell me anything about you? No. The word of God is talking to you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. And if you have made mistakes in the past and stuff, no, don't beat yourself down. When we start taking correction, that's when the day starts for you. Some say, well, I don't have enough. So what's the point of trying to conserve? That is even when you need to conserve. That's when you need to plan. That's when you need to budget. That's when you need to exercise these things we are talking about. And so God will find a reason to promote you more. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you don't do the right thing and apply the right principle of finances, what is the incentive for God to promote you more? If you're a waster, an abuser, why would God want to waste time giving you more? But if you take good care of what God has given you, no matter how small, in giving, in scriptures, in the work of the ministry, to your family and doing it right way, then God will have an incentive to bring more to you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. The second part is serving. We are going to go into that a little more. Giving and sharing. Wonderful things Christians do. They give offering, they give tithing, they do this. They do different things. But what we are talking about is the unity that is missing in the family system when it comes to financial things. I've had argument, well, it's better for us to work 50-50. Everybody have his own, this one, that. I said, no, that's not God's plan in the beginning. It may work for your family. That may be what you put in. But I also find a lot of problem in counseling, in discussing with people in this way. When there is no leadership, when there is no marked leadership, there's problem. And don't start telling me that because you're a man, the leadership falls on you. That is not true. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. I said there are some qualities for anybody who should handle the finance of the family. And it's for two of you to agree that my wife is better in this, or that my husband is better in this. And if two are really one, it doesn't matter who handles it. It is the person who is qualified for the job that should do it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in counseling, a lot of people have seen that somehow, I don't know why, it was like there's the opposite of one another. One goes this way, one goes that way. In nature, in character. Maybe because of their upbringing. Here is some of the qualities of the person who is to manage money in a family. The person have integrity. Not prone to financial infidelity. Somehow be frugal, but not a miser. It doesn't work. Somehow be frugal, wise in spending, wise in using your resources, but not a miser to deprive your children, deprive your wife, deprive your husband, use it as a weapon. No. The person have to be money smart, able to stick to budget, and be able to prioritize and able to balance budget. What do I mean by prioritizing and be able to balance budget? Know what is what. What is most needed before you go to want, before you graduate to desire. This is what my family need. Not another new fancy smushy gadgets. Electronics. Not another new fancy smushy or whatever, shoes, handbags, the name brand and stuff and so on and so forth. If you have graduated to that level, that's okay. Not another new car that you cannot afford. All of them across the board on loan, on debt. And you forget that once you accumulate that debt, you are slave to what? The lender. You will pay every type of every dime of it or answer for it. So this person, it doesn't matter if it's a wife that is good at it or a husband, should be able to give a report to the other member of the family. He should be able to save at the season of bountifulness and consider in the days of adversity. What do I mean by that? Pharaoh, a hidden king, found out that wisdom when Joseph told him there's going to be a time of hardship coming. I say, call the wise people. What do we do? They say, yeah, you know what? Let us take a fifth of the harvest of every good time. When there's bountifulness, when there is so much coming in, take some and put away. Put it away in your investment. Take it away in investing wisely. Take it away in saving. And put it away for the rainy days. Because as heaven and earth abound, there's going to be time it's going to be bright and sunny, and there's going to be a time it is rainy. So the ants are wise. When it's not raining, they go and gather these things and store it. They don't eat all of them in one day. They store it to use it when they know they cannot go out to gather more. But today, spend, 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 spend. Everything that comes have to go out. Quoting a lady that I spoke to one time, they finally divorced. Him and she and the husband. He said, when I have $1,000, my body is shaking. My body is shaking. I'm shaking like this. I said, why is it shaking? He said, that money must go. I'm not kidding you. Now, dollar have his own mind. Dollar has a speak his own language. And if you don't tell dollar where to go, it will wander away. And many a time, the only word we hear from dollar is bye-bye, I'm moving. Because we think that everything that comes have to go. Pharaoh told them, let us conserve some and spend some for the days of calamity. For the days that things are not where it should be. Brethren, I was a lady I was speaking to, I'm a believer, and so I'm a patient of mine, say, and have to go to my car many a times and get some money and give to some to buy medication. To do this thing, and some of them, I start talking to them. I say, why is this? You have a good war history, yes. You have making good money, yes. What happened? Well, I didn't just think. I didn't just plan. Now you are in your 60s and 70s, and all you can depend on is what? Welfare system. Handout from the government. Social security. Thank God for America. They still give some. I don't think it will endure. But the same thing is across the board in many parts of the world. And to you listening, you have to be in agreement. You have to have common mind. You have to plan as a family. And the better person will have to manage and report to the other one. And you have to do the right thing for your family or you will have problem. Here is the statistics that I looked up in the last message I had. 80% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. 80%. 60% have less than 1,000 saving in their bank account. 60%. Out of every 100, 60. 21% have no saving account of any form. They go to cash and more to cash their check, and the more is that they borrow on the next paycheck at 3% or 5% interest. It happens. 49% or 82% rely on social security or some welfare system to survive month to month. Even high earners like NFL people, they find out that greater percent of them struggle financially 2 years after retiring. 2 years after retiring. Many go broke. They have to find another area to make income, maybe go into boxing and get knocked out or whatever, and try. Not the other one that just got knocked out a few days ago. They are not going into it because they want to. It's because they blow everything they have already, and they have to find a way to make money, and they can't go to throwing the basketball or jumping too old, so they find other alternative means. Good that they are looking. But should it be after you've made 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 million? It happens. Because there's no system. Talking to my son, we're talking about it this morning with my son. He said, there are one of them, 19 years old, he has maybe, what they call it, daddy, mommy, or mommy, daddies, about six of them, all of them having kids. I say, wait until doesn't produce more record, and every one of them start coming back for what? Alimony or child support and stuff. He's going to be as broke as anything before you know it. But right now, they are making high income. We're talking of people who are making, but what of us here? So they struggle financially 2 years after retiring. 35% of high income earners live paycheck to paycheck. people that make over $100,000. Debt, poverty is a bondage. If you don't plan early, you will regret it later on. And it's not too late to plan. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. 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 I will say it and I say it again. I know it is better to bear the burden in your youth. Plan early in life. Many youths are not here today because of one thing or the other. But some of you are watching on this, on the YouTube and so on and so forth. And maybe many of you will log in along the way. To come across you, or you are watching us now from wherever. Planning is important. Quickly, let us look into those four areas that affects virtually everybody in this area. Blessed be the name of the Lord. One is that when there is no unity, financial infidelity occurs. What is that? This is when people cheat with money. A mentor, I read his book, Dave Ramsey, or listen to him when I'm driving at times. He just gave $10 million to write off 8,000 people debts. He called two different debt collectors. How much is people owing you total? This amount. That. He paid them off. It wasn't so 20, 30 years ago when he was dead broke. Nothing, because he was living from paycheck to paycheck and living a fancy life, driving a Jaguar that he couldn't afford and this and that, until God arrested him through a strange situation we can't go in, and he revised his life. So financial infidelity is when you are taking what is belonging to family and hiding it and shifting it for other purposes other than for the welfare of the family. There's no accountability. You find a way to siphon it to your own interest, to your own desire, to your own want. It's not in agreement. There is no discussion on that. That is financial infidelity. And that's how many 20 to 30% of family welfare goes down the drain. We see that other than that, we also have another area, spending competition. Oh, he bought a new car, I will buy my own. He bought a new shoe, I will buy my own. He gave to the family, I will give to my own. It becomes a competition that doesn't yield any dividend because it's not done in the right spirit. The time I was studying in this counseling stuff, somebody told me, your friend is about to be fired. I said, what? He's not working well. He's doing this and that. I was working for an engineering firm. I said, what is going on with you? Well, my wife is about to leave us. What happened? Please, Emmanuel, I know you have times give good advice. Can you call my wife and talk to her? I don't know your wife. I never said, please just call. Okay, give me her number. I called. Spoke to the lady. The lady left everything she's doing. Caucasians. I never met her, but I know the husband. She started telling me the story, and as she was telling, I was shrinking more and more. You mean that my friend has been doing this? Yes, yes, yes. Financial infidelity. So I asked him, say, is it true? He said, well, that is true. Manager in one area, level 3 designer in the other one, they make big bucks. The woman said, we don't have nothing saved. Nothing. Emmanuel, do you know what he did last time? Just this last one that broke the camel's back? No. He went on a vacation. So I asked him, what did you do? What? He said, well, it's kind of, what's the language you use? Something of a lifetime. Something you do once in a lifetime. There's a name for it, I don't know. Say, what is it? He went scuba diving, paid for his friends to go scuba diving, $20,000 way back then. And the woman was trying for them to put money together to buy a house. Did she even know? Well, if I tell her, she wouldn't have agreed. So you took that amount of money. In fact, let them fire you. In fact, let her kick you out. You are useless, I say. But that's not what I call you to do. I say you are pissing me off here. How can you do that? You don't reason, you don't think. This woman works and saves, and you work and spend. Because there's no unity in the family. Have another one that sat before me for weeks. 300,000 earning or more. And the husband is always investing on one kind of, I don't know what they call it, this money-making scheme. And scheme that goes on, once he comes, bim, he goes there. Once he comes, and so I say after some time, dude, you are not qualified to manage the finances of this family. But I'm a man, you are disqualified as far as I'm concerned. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You are not qualified. Did you see what is going out and what is being wasted? For many of us here, it is the same, not mystery here, but maybe watching or listening or later on. The same thing that happens. We don't think, we don't plan, we are not in unity like the ants. Who have the common sense to go and walk, have the common sense to save it, have the common sense and to share it equitably for the welfare of the colony. So that millions of ants, when it starts raining, but things are not right, they still have something to go back to. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. I think it's Brustin that will say, did you still like me? So is that how you say Brustin? Something like that. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. Now, desire can go before want, before the family need. Desire and want goes before. When there is not unity, almost at the end of this. When there's no unity, desire what I want. So that the need of the family is not reached. Basic need. I've seen family who cannot bring up to spend on the basic need of the family. Because there's no unity, the wife or the husband is more interested in spending it in whatever they want that doesn't benefit the common need of the family. For God's sake, which should come first? Do you know what the Bible says? It says that the Lord shall do all your, grant all your what? Your need. Before you graduate to want, and maybe he may even give you desires of your heart in a lot of situations. But the one he guarantees us is the need. So your spending habit should address need first. Whether he's shouting for whatever or crying or whatever, let the need be addressed first. But when there is competition and lack of unity, no common purpose, goal agenda is thrown out of the window, then what happens is that you put your desire first. And like scuba diving man, that was his desire. That is his want. The need of the family is that they are working and making a lot of money. Let us put together and get a home that we call ourselves, that we yield equity, that we can write off as a tax return. The scuba diving, is it writable as tax return? No. Does it achieve anything? No. 4 or 5 days of weekend spent that amount of money without even due consultation, without telling your partner. I think somebody my wife works with, I was reading one day, was telling me, man went out and by time he called, the wife, the husband have taken the house and gotten a, what they call it, this thing you do and take out a loan, a huge amount of loan on it. I've had patients who told me my daughter is just, or this part of the family is taking everything because they can sign on to it. That is when you put your desire, your want before the need of the family. That should not be so. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Yes. Lastly, when the woman desire for security and a man's self-esteem is not addressed in a home, it's mostly because there is no unity of purpose. I don't care how you try to phrase it like some people say, we're doing it this way, it's working for us. Maybe it's working, maybe it's not working. But is it God's way? Is it set in foundation of righteousness? Is it designed for you to hand it over to your children and say, do it like the way we are doing it? But we stop our ear, we don't want to listen. That's why there are 60% of divorce. It's because of financial problems in the home. And many a times not because they are not making enough. Some even take one another life because of it. Can give you instances. Some of them I met with. Because of financial problems in the home. And that is because we do not go and listen to the ants or learn the way of the common ant, who learned to work hard, who learned to save, who learned to share equitably for the good of all in the family. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. So, women want security. All of us to some extent, yes. But most of them, not just for them, for their children. They want to make sure that things are taken care of. Not at the end of every month you are brainstorming how to make ends meet and pay the debt. 2 circumstances like health, I understand. 2 circumstances like, you know, many of us migrated late in life to this place and have to start from beginning. That's understandable. But many of us are positioned. Some of you listening out there are positioned to do better, are positioned to do a lot better. But you tend to be selfish. It's all about me. What I want, what I don't want. So when a woman doesn't get that and understanding that there is security for me, it doesn't sit well with them. If many other things goes wrong in the family. And when a man feels like I cannot at this time fail my family, your self-esteem is hit really bad. But I want to tell us today, blessed be the name of the Lord, that there is a way. Go back to the ant and learn. There's something God put into my mind to ask me and ask all of us. Who among us has prayed for wisdom on how to spend our money? Ask yourself sitting here listening. We pray on how to get a job. We pray on how to get a raise. We pray on how to get better business idea. But very few people pray on wisdom on how to spend money. Maybe on large investment like house, they may remember to pray. But very few, if any, very few pray on how. God, what do you want me to do with the money you gave me? How do I spend this money? Give me guidance, give me revelation, give me help so that I can use it wisely. That is why many of us, as I said in the beginning of the wisdom teaching, many of us spend much time jacking faith, praying by faith, hitting it down, you know, just pushing it and stuff. Because we neglected the school of wisdom in the beginning. When there is so many, had I known. When there's a lot of, had I known. When there's a lot of prayer for miracles and this. Could it be that because you've neglected the wisdom of God that is freely given to each and every one of us? Blessed be the name of the Lord. As we round up, let us remember that God is the author of everything. He said, if you lack wisdom, call unto God, who give it to all men liberally. If you are sitting at home and say, I don't even have enough, I've wasted what God has given me. So that you keep praying and asking for more, and God says, why will I give you more when you've not used the one I gave you wisely? It's today you are up, tomorrow you are down. There's a roller coaster in your financial system. There's no stability. Go back and see. If you need to ask God, have I abused the privilege that God has given me good health to walk, brain to use it well, but I refuse to use it well. Have I been denying myself and my family what is their due right because I've messed it up? Is there selfishness in the system that needs to be pushed out so that the window of blessing can start to flow in? God will see, yes. No, he has only one shirt and one pant. But he cleans it very well and iron it every time. He takes good care of it. So let me give him more. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is wisdom. If you take good care of the little God has given you, then there will be incentive for God to give you more. If you abuse and continue to abuse the little that has come your way, why will God give you more? Let us stand on our feet as we pray. We claim Philippians 4:19, that God is able to supply all our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, which is true. And God is able. But let us remember that these things have to fall into in line with the word of God. As I said in the beginning, go and look up some of the messages on wisdom series in finances, jmichurch.org, sermons. Each of the pastors are there. Log in there and review some of them for your good. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. We are about to enter a new year and thank you for the last year, Father, and for all you have done. We pray for any who is in the house now and they are having financial stress and quarreling and bitterness against one another. We pray that through the ministration today, they can go back to the altar and finish off our faith. That Lord Jehovah God, they can ask you for guidance. Learn to pray as a family for use of money. Learn to discuss. Learn to have a discussion. And let, Father, fairness be implied. Father, there are many people suffering. Everything they have has been taken away due to this pandemic. There are so many people that are out of job and they don't know where to turn to. There are many people, Jehovah God, that are doing well a few years ago, even at the beginning of this year, but they are now on the food line. And part of the reason is because they forgot to save, they forgot to put away. And then may hear this and say, ah, I made a mistake. Lord, you are Jehovah Jireh. You are God that is able to restore again. I pray you restore to them. I pray you restore to them good understanding. And Father, the resources, Jehovah God, they need to survive. And there are many because of sicknesses and trials of faith have lost everything they have. Not because they didn't plan well, not because they didn't do well, but it's a challenge. It is a trial of faith. Father, pray. We pray in the name of Jesus that such one will not give up, but look unto you who is able to provide and make a way. Lord Jehovah God, remember their prayers this day and their petition and restore to them in Jesus' mighty name. I pray for every member of this church that, Father, we shall go from strength to strength in every aspect of our life. That we will know how to walk in the wisdom of God, in unity of purpose, to achieve a common objective, have a goal-oriented mind to do what is right for our family. And that, Father, your name be glorified. Thank you for all you have done. And thank you for the more you will do. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.